Oh, hero prophetic, you conquered the grave. You free every captive and break every chain, oh God. You have the greatness.
You get your freedom awake and alive. Oh, Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high. God,
you have the greatness.
Can I get an amen? God has done great things. Amen. Well, we welcome you this morning to Colleen Ephesus Church. If you're watching online, we're glad you're with us this morning. Just a few announcements as we get started. Just want to thank everybody yesterday who participated in the Trunk or Treat and Hot Dog Saturday. We had a really good turnout for that event yesterday, and the weather cooperated. And so thank you for everybody that donated candy and helped volunteer behind the scenes and make that event a success. Hopefully you were able to see some of the pictures this morning on the screen as you came in. If not, you can go on our church Facebook page and you can see some pictures there this morning. Just a few other reminders is that on this Thursday, I'll be having my Bible study in the chapel right behind here at 10:30. And we'll be talking again about, did God really say that? Is that really in the Bible? And so I'll be talking about that aspect of it this Thursday. Also, next Sunday, a reminder that the adult Sunday school class that meets back in the senior center will begin meeting at 9 o'clock in the morning next Sunday morning. So if you want to come to Sunday school, 9 o'clock back in the senior center next Sunday morning is when that'll start. So please take note of that. It is really hard to believe, but we are getting into the holiday season now, and that means that Thanksgiving's around the corner, and we'll be doing our annual Thanksgiving Day meal here at the church. And if you go out these doors here, there's a little area in the back called the credenza, and there's a sign-up sheet there for volunteers to help during the week prepare for food, for during the event to set up, to tear down, to clean up, and to do other things. So if you would just go back there when you're headed out today, and if you're available, we'd love to have you on Thanksgiving Day coming and helping during that week and at the event as well. It also is time for Christmas around the corner, and that means that poinsettia orders are due. And so they're $10 each, and if you, again, go out these doors right there at the Welcome Center or out in the little corner out there where you'll see some different things, that there are envelopes for the poinsettias, and you can drop them in the offering plate or drop them through the window at the church office, and we'll make sure that we take care of those and get those here for Christmas Eve and for the Christmas service. Also, if you're interested in singing in the choir on Christmas Eve, practice starts next Sunday right after the service. It'll be right here in the sanctuary. If you have any questions about it, please see Melody, and Melody is right over there. So you can see Melody this morning, and she'll be glad to give you some information. And don't forget that the church newsletter for November, The Dove, is out this morning also. So well, thank you for just everybody that does everything around here and volunteers and keeps things going. And this morning, part of coming together and being the body of Christ means that we are together as one. And this morning we have a very special occasion where we'll be taking in Lily Keese as one of our members this morning. So Lily, if you just want to come up this morning right where I'm at. And as I'm asking Lily these questions, I would ask that you think about your membership vows as well. And as Lily is coming together and joining this morning, that you, the congregation, would also renew your vows this morning as well. So Lily, I do have a couple questions for you, as we talked about. And I'll go through them all, and then your response I'll ask at the end, either yes or no. Okay. Lily, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of their sin? Do you accept the freedom and power that God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior and put your whole trust in His grace and His promise to serve Him? Will you remain faithful to the Christ's holy church and serve as His representative in this world? Will you be loyal to the United Methodist Church and do all your powers to strengthen it by faithfully participating in your ministries, your prayers, and by your gifts and your service, and by your witness? And lastly, do you profess the Christian faith as contained in the Scriptures, the Old and the New Testaments?
Yes, I do.
Coming to Methodist Church this morning, do you reaffirm your membership vows? And do you pledge to support Lily and come alongside her and encourage her as she becomes a part of our church family? If you would respond, I will. Let us pray together. Lord, we come before you now, and we just ask a special blessing upon Lily this morning. We give you thanks and praise that she's a part of our congregation. And God, we just ask that we be able to support her and surround her and encourage her on her Christian journey, and that we would be there for her the way that you were there for us and the way that we're there for each other. So thank you, God, for this moment. Thank you, God, for Lily. Thank you, God, for allowing us to be a part of your church. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Lily. And let's welcome Lily to the church family this morning. Thank you again. And just a little note about Lily. She enjoys spending lots of time with her family and grandkids. If you were here yesterday, you probably saw the van they had, and they probably had 10 or so grandkids over there. And so it's a joy to have Lily and her grandkids as they come and join us together this morning. Well, hello there.
Hello.
I'm not sure what's going on right now.
We're representing the congregation of PRC. October was, of course, Pastor Appreciation Month, so we would like to just give you a little token appreciation. And
thank you very much.
Thank you
very much. I appreciate that very much. Thank you, guys. Thank you, congregation. And it's been a joy, and I love being here with you guys and just walking alongside of you, and It's been a great time being a part of this church. So thank you for everything you do again for this church, because without you guys, we wouldn't have a church. So you're an important part of this church as well. And so thank you for everything you do to make my job a lot easier so that I can do what I do. So thank you again, congregation. Let us look to God and let us go to prayer this morning. And before we do that, just some concerns to take note of. And Pat Wagner's doing a little bit better. She was going to come today, but her back was bothering her. So continue to keep Pat in your thoughts and prayers. Andrew Gambler did have his stem cell treatment this week. It was successful, and he'll have to go back in several weeks for another one. So just pray for Andrew as far as keeping him healthy, no infections, other things like that. Continue to keep Ken Hill in your thoughts and prayers as well, as he's still battling the infection, his gallbladder. Sally Draper will be having surgery November the 2nd. I believe that'll be Tuesday, so keep Sally in your thoughts and prayers. And Jim Walk back here, too, will be having surgery on his foot, and that'll be on Wednesday if all goes well. So keep Jim in your thoughts and prayers. And so before we go to God in prayer, let's just lift Jim up in our thoughts and prayers. So if you just want to extend your hands out to Jim, and we'll pray for Jim and Sally and as they're going through things this week with surgery. So God, we come before you now, and we just pray a special blessing upon both Sally and Jim, that you would be with them as they're going to be going through procedures this week. Comfort them, strengthen them. Just be with them as they recover from the procedures, God. Be the doctors and nurses that will be performing those procedures as well, Lord. And give them the peace, God, that comes with you, and that you would be a God that's active in healing them so they can come back and join us here at Columbiana Methodist Church. And we pray this in your son's name, Lord. Amen. Now let us just pray together as we continue worship this morning. And God, we are here in your presence once again. We are here because of you. And we, this morning, want to be lifting up Pat and Ken, as well as Jim and Sally again, Lord. And we pray, God, that you would continue to be with them and walk beside them, Lord. We pray, God, that you would just be with us this morning as we offer ourselves to you as a living sacrifice and present ourselves to you, that you'll be pleased with what we have to bring today. Amen. Let us continue to worship.
But purer and higher and greater will
Thank you, worship team. Let us prepare our hearts this morning as we again go to God in prayer. Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, we come before you now and ask that you would open our hearts and our minds that we might hear you speak to us, Lord. We ask, Lord, that the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart will be acceptable in thy sight. Amen. Remember, last year, Melanie and I were out walking on the Columbia Crossing Trail, and then we decided to go down to where Bank Street is at, the other trail that is the river trail down there. And we didn't park on Bank Street. We parked on a couple of streets down, and we got out, and we began to walk on the trail. And as we were walking on the trail for a little bit, we said, you know, it's getting dark. Let's turn around, and, well, let's kind of come home and find the cars we both had parked at because we'd driven separately. And we began to walk, and we kept walking, and we couldn't remember which street we had parked on. So we kind of finally stopped on the river trail, and we kind of sat on the bench there for a second going, now, how far have we actually walked, and does any of this look familiar at all? And we were about 15 minutes of time going back and forth trying to figure out, do we go back and retrace our steps, or do we go forward and just see where it takes us? Our phones were not helpful, obviously, because our phones could not tell us where to park and where we parked at, and we couldn't call anybody to say, could you tell us where we parked at? So we were left on our own to try to figure out what to do. So we ended up continuing to walk, and lo and behold, we walked too far, and we ended up having to walk three streets back down the other way to get to our car because we had made the wrong decision. We should have gone back just a couple of feet back, and we didn't do that. You know, as funny as that story might seem, that's how life is with choices at times. That a lot of us, we are paralyzed with what do we do? Where do we go? We have nobody to call. Our phones can't help us. A lot of times we're left on our own to figure out, well, what do I do in this situation? You see, a lot of times it can be confusing. A lot of times it can be frustrating. A lot of times it can be paralyzing. And it feels like there is no good option. Now, in the case of Melanie and I, there wasn't a bad option because either way you went, we would eventually get off the trail. But we kind of had a choice to make. Did we just kind of sit on the bench and just wait for somebody to come and talk to us and say, hey, by the way, where are we at? Or do we make a decision and try to go a different direction? Sometimes it seems like there's no good choices, and sometimes when you make a choice, there's not a good or a bad choice. We all have important decisions that we make as they face our future, they face our direction in life, they face who we are. If you're a student in school and you're in high school or middle school, what classes should you take? If you're in high school, you begin to think about, well, what do I need to do to get ready for my future as far as what do I want to do? What's my career going to be? What college do I go to? And then if you graduate college, you ask yourself that question of, okay, well, now that I've graduated college, what job should I have? Who should I marry? What path should I take? And then as you get older and you begin to have a family, you begin to ask yourself, do we stay where we're at? Do we relocate to be closer to family? Decisions, decisions, decisions. Do we stay at the current job I'm at, or do I change jobs because, you know, something might have happened and it's not the way it used to be? We should buy a house or not buy a house? Where to buy a house? What type of house to buy? How much can we afford? What type of car do I want to drive? And even the question of what church do I want to go to? These are all decisions that we're faced with each and every day that we wrestle with. And we say, okay, now, how is it that I can come to a decision on what is best for me, or best for my husband, or best for my family, or best for the community? We all need wisdom. We all need discernment. The question is, well, where to find it? And you would say, well, Pastor Tom, that's easy. The Bible. You don't need to preach anymore. Well, that's true, but let's kind of look at that a little bit more, and let's look at how God in the Bible can direct us. First thing this morning, I think we've all heard of God's perfect will in our lives. And God's perfect will is that if we did everything and we made all the right choices in our life, that things would go the way that God intended things to go. Meaning that God has his perfect will saying, this is what I really have for you. This is what I want for you. This is how I want to bless you. This is how I want you to be in relationship with me. God's perfect will. But yet we also have God's will, which is different than God's perfect will. Because you see, God does not impose his perfect will on us and say, you're going to do this whether you like it or not. No, God gives us that free will in which that we make decisions and we choose what we're going to do in life and how our life might go. And as a result, God's will then comes into play. God's will comes into play as far as saying, okay, now that you're on this journey, it might not have been what I had in store for you. It might not have been what I wanted for you. But now that you made these decisions, my will is still perfect and holy, and I will walk alongside of you so that you can continue in this journey of relationship with me. And sometimes we can make decisions that are not good decisions, that go against what God wants and God's will. But God is there perfect with us. And God says, although we made a bad choice, he still is there alongside of us, allowing his will to still work out in our lives. That is why in the United Methodist Church, we baptize infants. Because we believe that's a symbol of God's spirit and presence being upon that infant child. Walking alongside that child through their journey until they're able to come to a decision to follow him or not follow him. That God's will is going to be acted out in that child's life, even from being an infant, because God will put people in their lives to influence them. Circumstances in their life to influence them, just like he does for us. The Bible does give us a lot of instruction on guidance of wisdom and exactly what God would like for us to do. But I think a lot of times we'll pray to God and say, okay, God, what do you want me to do when we're waiting for God to speak to us? Well, Pastor Tom, I'm glad you asked me what you wanted to do, because Pastor Tom, this is what you should do. Thank you, God. I appreciate it. Now I know what to do. We're waiting for that audible voice from God. Or maybe we're waiting for those lightning bolts to come hit us. Maybe we're waiting for the fire, or maybe we're waiting for smoke, or maybe we're waiting for an earthquake. Maybe we're waiting for something really cool to happen. And we're saying, well, God, I haven't heard from you because there hasn't been anything really awesome that has happened with my request for guidance from you. You haven't done anything, God, so I guess you're not speaking to me. I guess you're not answering me. And that's not what the Bible says, folks. It says God speaks to us in a small, still voice. But so many times we're waiting for God to do something big and say, okay, show me, give me a sign. You give me a sign, then I'll know it's what I'm supposed to do. And a lot of times we miss those signs. Because those signs might be an individual that's spoken to us about something. It might have been a card we got in the mail. It might have been a phone call. It might have been something that happened and we were like, wow, that's just kind of interesting how that transpired. And God does send signs, but we miss them so many times. You see, if you go to Romans this morning, chapter 12, verses 1 through 2, the scripture will be behind me. Paul says that if we really want guidance from the Bible, we really want guidance from God, Paul instructs us to do this. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, for this is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. Paul is giving us some broad guidance here in the scripture from Romans this morning. He is saying that if we really want to seek wisdom from God, then we need to offer ourselves to God as a living sacrifice, meaning that we offer himself and we say, this is our life to you as a sacrifice, God, that I'm giving you control of everything in my life. I'm not holding on to anything that will be pleasing to him and that we be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Meaning that we're spending time in prayer and scripture, by meaning that we're spending time seeking and being in relationship with God. That we're not of this world, we're transformed and different from this world. That we're not relying just on the things of this world to guide us and direct us, but we're relying on the supernatural, like the power of the Holy Spirit, to guide us, to direct us, to give us wisdom and input in our life. To recognize the fact that God is working around us, in the midst of us, the power of His Spirit. If you look at Scripture from Genesis to Revelation, you will see the story, and even today we will still continue to see the story, of how God has been trying to restore His creation from the garden. How God has been trying to bring us into relationship with Him each and every day, who is grace and mercy. And when Jesus left his disciples, Jesus instructed his disciples to keep their focus still on God. He didn't say, well, I'm going to leave and I want you to rely on the things of this world to make decisions about your lives and how to conduct yourselves. I want you to rely on things of this world so that you can rely on how to take care of the widows and the orphans. No, that's not what Jesus said. Jesus tells us here in John chapter 14, verses 26 through 27, he says, I'm going to give you the power of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, and you shall receive that power. And when that power comes upon you, then you will know what to do because the power of the Spirit is given. John 14, 26. But the Advocate, meaning the individual that goes between us and God, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, who is the interceder between us and God, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things, remind you of everything I have said. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give it to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. Galatians 5:25, Paul once again referenced this, where he says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. That if we want to make good decisions in our lives, when we come to a crossroad and we're saying, I'm not sure what to do, I'm not sure what the right decision is, Paul says, well, are we being in right step with the Spirit? Are we relying on the Holy Spirit to guide us? Are we seeking the Holy Spirit for wisdom and direction? Are we in step with the Holy Spirit? Or we just come to God and say, okay, God, show it to me, and we walk away and we're waiting for God to answer our prayer. You see, being in step with the Spirit means it's one step at a time. It means that every single day we put one foot in front of the other in our relationship with God. It means that we are trying our best to commune with the Holy Spirit and with God. And like we talked about last week, receiving the Holy Spirit, it's not about the law. It's not about if you behave this way, then God will give you the Holy Spirit. No, the Holy Spirit is given to us by God's grace and God's mercy. God gives it to us as the comforter, that in times of trials and crisis in our life, it's what gives us the peace that Jesus speaks about, that says the peace the world does not know. The peace only comes from God. And you would say this morning, well, Pastor Tom, how is it that I really know if I have the Holy Spirit in my life? How is it that I know that if I'm walking in step with the Holy Spirit? Well, in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, Paul addresses this and says, this is the measuring stick for every single person that says they're a follower of Christ. That if you are walking with the Holy Spirit in step with Him, then you will manifest these things. And if you manifest these things, then you know that you're in step with the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 through 23. We probably know these verses very well, don't we? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And against such things there is no law. How do we know if we're able to make right decisions? How do we know if the Holy Spirit's going to guide us in making those right decisions? Well, are we showing love to others? Are we thankful, joy for what God has? Are we living in peace with each other? And are we happy and content with what we have? Are we being kind and being faithful no matter what might come our way? Are we showing gentleness? But most importantly, are we controlling ourselves? You see, most of the time, the reason we're not walking in step with the Holy Spirit is because of that last piece and self-control. Because a lot of times we lack self-control. And this is a wonderful measuring stick for us to determine whether or not we're working and walking with the Spirit. Do we have that self-control? You know, we might struggle with specific answers to questions in life, specific things as far as what direction should I go at this point in my life, what road should I take. But God cares about us, and God wants us to rely on Him and the Holy Spirit. Because our choices we make will not just only affect us, but they will affect others around us as well. The choices we make in this life will not just impact us, but it'll impact our family, our friends, our community, and our churches, folks. You see, so many times you think, well, this decision only impacts me, so why do I care how this might impact others? But you see, that's not having self-control. That's being selfish. Because it's one thing to say, you know what, I need to make a good decision here. It's another thing to say, I only care about myself and how that decision affects me and nobody else. That's that self-control. So does that mean that there are wrong choices? Well, yes, there are wrong choices. There are choices that we know are wrong. We know that the Bible is very clear about that. When we look at the Ten Commandments specifically, that we know that there are things that are wrong according to the Ten Commandments. You don't kill, you don't steal, you don't lie. You don't commit adultery. These are things that we know are wrong. If you go back to Matthew and he says, love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love others as yourself. If we're not loving God, well, that's wrong. If we're not loving others, then that's wrong. There are things that are wrong, and there are wrong choices that we can make that goes against God's principles, that goes against what God stands for and what God wants us as his followers to stand for. You see, the Bible is what gives us those guidelines. The Bible is what helps us determine, well, what is right and, well, what is wrong. You see, people say in today's world, well, truth is relative. There is no absolute truth. I disagree with that. Because if truth is relative, then there is no truth, folks. Truth is truth, and I believe there is an absolute truth, and the absolute truth is the Word of God, the Bible. I believe that is the Word of God, unchanging, from chapter to chapter, unchanging from generation to generation, folks. That is the absolute truth. The Bible is not relative. The Bible is not something you take and you just apply it to whatever situation you want to apply it to. The Bible is absolute truth. But in today's world, we will say there is no such thing as absolute truth. It's relative. It doesn't exist. It's constantly changing from day to day. But folks, the Bible doesn't. The Bible is unchanging. God is unchanging. If you were to say the Bible is not absolute truth, then you would have to say, well, God's an unchanging God then. That God's not absolute. To question the Bible and say the Bible is not absolute is to say the fact that God is not all-powerful and all-loving and caring and gracious and merciful, because that means that God would change as well. Because God is truth. And if God is truth, then his word is truth. And if his word is not truth, then that means God is not truth. You can't have it both ways. You can't say God is truth, but his word's not truth, because they're one and the same, folks. You see, when we're looking at Scripture, Scripture is a way at times that it can convict us, it can make us get back on track, but it's also an encouraging time, like Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21, he is saying to the individuals that are in captivity, saying that, you know, you need to cry out. You need to turn back to God. That Isaiah is saying, you have missed the mark. You have turned away. And Isaiah is saying, God wants you back. And he's saying, if you come back to God here, in Isaiah 30, 21, he's saying that if you walk in it, if you walk in God's love and compassion, that God will show you the way. But first you have to be convicted. And that's what Scripture does, and that's why we don't like the Bible, folks, because the Bible convicts us, and we don't like anything that convicts us. And the Bible convicts us. The Bible is what gets us back on the right path with God. You see, we need to realize that God's perspective is not the same as ours, that what we do in times of decision-making is a time where we really trust God and not ourselves. It's a time where we sometimes have to be patient. And I don't know about you, but I hate patience. And my mom told me when I was a kid, don't ever pray for patience. Because if you pray for patience, watch out. God will give it to you. I'm not a patient person at times, and I struggle with being patient. But God says, wait, be patient, Pastor Tom. But we live in a society where everything's instantaneously. Instantaneous decisions on credit ratings. Instantaneous decisions on what's happening on TV with elections. Instantaneous, instantaneous, instantaneous. That we expect God to be instantaneous in our lives. That God all of a sudden becomes like the culture. And we expect God to be the way that culture is. Well, give me an answer right now, because if I turn the TV, I can get an answer right now from the world. God says, be patient. And that's difficult to do, being patient. Because we're not patient individuals at times. We want everything right here, right now, and instantaneously. We don't like to wait. So what do we do when we have to make important decisions in our life? What do we do when we come to that crossroads and say, okay, God, I don't know what to do. What is the clear way forward? Well, first, again, we have to go to the Bible, folks. The Bible is God's word. The Bible is our standard for guidance. Psalm 119, 105 is very clear that if we want guidance in our lives, Psalm 119, 105 says, your word is a light to my feet and a light in my path. But so many times we forget that. So many times we forget the Bible is there to give us direction, to guide us, to help to show the way. But we say, I can't relate to that. That was written so long ago that it just doesn't do anything for me. Have you really read the Bible, folks? Because I guarantee you'll get something out of it and say, wow, different people, different times, almost the same exact thing I'm going through right now. Stories in the Bible are things we can learn from the Old and New Testament, from Esther to David to Paul to Peter to Timothy, all living out examples of wise counsel and what to do. Think about Esther. What do I do? My people are going to be killed. What do I do? And Esther had to decide whether or not she was going to stand up for her nation or whether she's going to keep quiet and not say she was a Jew. We know about David and Goliath. We shared that story a few weeks ago. How about Paul as he was being persecuted and he went before the Sanhedrin and they said, stop talking about God, Paul. And Paul had a choice. Do I not talk about God and put in prison or do I continue to do so? Timothy, do not let anyone despise you because you are young. Giving wise counsel to the church and saying that even youth have wisdom as well. It teaches us the Bible about God's command. It shows us God's nature and it tells us what his priorities are. And if there's something that goes against the Bible, folks, then I would have to say it's wrong. If you have to make a decision, you go, well, this goes against the Bible and contradicts the Bible, then I would say it's probably wrong then. And you already have your answer. Prayer. Talking to God, our communication with God. When we talk to God, it changes our perspective. It reshapes us. It molds us. It allows us to see things differently. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7, Paul says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understandings, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Paul is saying here, why are we anxious? I don't know. I don't know why I'm so anxious, and I don't know as sometimes why I myself don't just run to God right away and say, okay, God, I'm anxious. Give me your peace. I guess it's who we are as human beings that we like to be anxious about stuff. It's part of our makeup, and that we forget that, well, wait a second, that God said go to him and not be anxious, and he'll give us peace and comfort us. But we don't do that so many times in our lives because we like to be anxious for some reason. For some reason, we like to be stressed out. For some reason, we just like just to have that hanging over us, and I don't know why. Myself included, folks. But God says, just give it to me and trust in me and walk with me. Be in step with the Spirit and it'll be okay. You see, we don't just ask God for direction and say, God, give me direction. We go to God and God tells us that we're supposed to ask for wisdom, folks. James chapter 1, verse 5 says, if any one of you who lacks wisdom, ask God and he will give it to you, all without finding fault. You see, it's not just, God, what should I do? But God, can you give me wisdom? Can you give me direction? Wisdom, God, wisdom. And that wisdom comes in many shapes and forms. We have to ask for it. And last week, we also look at people that we can talk to that we trust. Wise counsel. This has been very important in my life when I've been able to meet with several individuals that are clergy friends as well as close friends that I'm able to talk to them and say, okay, I need some wise counsel. This is what I'm facing. This is a situation that's going on. How should I handle it? What perspective do you give? To seek individuals out that we can trust, that we know will give us the godly perspective on things, that won't tell us what we want to hear, folks, that'll give us the hard answers and say, have you looked at it this way? Or maybe, have you ever thought about that maybe the issue is you and not what you're talking about? Trusting people that can give us the difficult things and tell us the things that we don't want to hear sometimes. Seeking wise counsel. Proverbs 12:15 says, the way of the fool seems right to them, but the wise, they listen to advice. They won't always tell us what we want to hear. Sometimes it'll be hard, but the wise listen to advice pointing us to God. You see, I don't know what choices you might be facing here today when you walked into this sanctuary, but I know that all of us have choices that we're facing. And this morning we are wondering, well, I wonder what direction I should go, or I wonder what the answer should be. That we're causing ourselves to stop and think and reflect a little bit on our lives and what our lives have looked like, and from the past, the present, the future. And we might say, okay, this is what it's been like the past. This is where I'm currently at. What do I want the future to look like? And we begin to wrestle with those things, and we don't have clear direction or clear answers sometimes. And we're sitting here this morning maybe going, okay, I'm not sure what to do. It's okay. It's okay to wrestle with stuff like that, folks. It's okay to wrestle and say, I don't have the answer. I don't know which direction to go. It's okay to do that. It's okay to say when God gives us direction, I don't like that direction, God. Is there another way, God? It's okay to have that conversation with God and say, God, are you sure? Are you certain? It's okay to ask and wrestle with those questions and go through the process, because that allows us to trust God even more. You see, we need to trust that God will not just give us the answer, but that each and every day of our lives that God will make clear our path for us, and that each and every day of our lives that we will be walking in step with the Spirit. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Probably a verse we all know well, that we all learn in Sunday school. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. In all your ways submit to Him, meaning give up of ourselves to Him. And when we do that, He will make our paths straight.
things in the past, things yet unseen, wishes and dreams that are yet to come true. All of my hopes and all of my plans, my heart and my hands, I'm lifting to you.
Love.
Times of worship.
That is our desire, God. That's what we desire this morning.
Yes, it is, Lord.
Yes, we do, Lord. Yes, we are, Lord. Yes, Lord, we are. Lord, we are ready to do your will. We are ready to be set apart. We are ready to be holy, God. That is our prayer this morning, that you would refine us. As gold is refined, that you would refine our hearts, that we would do your will, that we would seek you first. That's our prayer, God. Amen. This morning, as you head out, make sure you take a moment, if you haven't already, to introduce yourself to Lily this morning and to welcome her again as a member of our church. And as we go this morning, let us go with the peace of God and that peace that Jesus gives us that doesn't come from this world, but comes from Him. Go in peace this week. Amen and amen. God bless.